The Holy Gospel is written in the 24th chapter of St. Luke, beginning to read at verse 44, and may be found on page 1062 of our pew Bibles. Jesus appears to the disciples. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Ascension of Jesus. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Do be seated as Linda comes to read our Acts passage for us. And you'll recognize the overlap as it begins with Ascension.
The passage from Acts is taken from the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we read that Jesus opened their minds so that they can understand the scriptures. We ask that you come, Holy Spirit, and open our minds too this morning. Amen. Amen. Do please be seated. Imagine the disciples are stood there, craning their necks. They've witnessed miracles, but this? Three of the disciples have even seen Jesus' transfiguration. But not this. Jesus taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hiding him from their sight. And then angels appear, and I love this, an echo of that first Easter morning with the angels in the tomb. They appear here and say, "Why do you stand here, looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." So, while these poor disciples are trying to get their head around Jesus disappearing into a cloud and this spirit that they are promised and are supposed to wait for, then angels turn up and say, "Jesus is going to come back one day just like that." If you're ever confused about the gospel, you're in good company. But I want to focus today on one small aspect, the cloud. As well as Christ speaking to them, in his last visible moments, the apostles see something that would chime with all Israel before them, a cloud. You must have, I hope you have, and in a way I hope you still do, lie on your back on some grass and look up at the sky. Who can fail to be absorbed with wonder? There's so many different cloud forms. And then I spent a lot of my childhood seeing things in the clouds. Oh, that looks like a so-and-so. Oh, that looks like a bunny rabbit. Oh, that looks like a dragon. Now, I've got here the first of 11 images by the artist Chris Duffett. You'll find small versions in the prayer journal and along the back there when we have our coffee, a whole display of the whole 11. It was the depiction of the clouds here that really engaged me. That got me off on a cloud thing. So we're doing a bit of a whistle-stop tour through Scripture with some aspects of the clouds in the Bible. Of course, you'll be familiar that in the escape of God's people from Egypt, in Exodus 13, we can read, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud." Yes, this is congregation participation, thank you, to guide them on their way. Exodus 16, while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. We know from Exodus 19 and 20, Moses gets the Ten Commandments. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." 1 Kings 8, we learn that when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. Now, I love this one. This is probably my favorite. Andrew, I think you'll like this one best. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when all the musicians, loads of different instruments, and all the singers were praising aloud, it says this: "Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple." I mean, I'd love to be put out of work and made redundant by the glory of the cloud this morning. I'm sure you would too. So many times in the Old Testament, God speaks from a cloud, and we read of his presence in the cloud. Daniel 7, some of you are already there. The exiled Daniel has visions that are echoed hundreds of years later. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven." In Matthew chapter 17, as well as Mark and Luke, Jesus is transfigured with Peter, James, and John looking on. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." And then when Jesus is describing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read at that time, that's describing his return. We read, "At that time we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." And then the last one, of course, in the book of Revelation, we'll find immediately in chapter 1, "Look, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him." Sometimes I want that to happen right now. In different ways, these mentions of the cloud signify the divine presence of God or his guiding. Now, yesterday was a bit like today. It was so sunny, the rector put her shorts on. Yes, I have legs under here. And I went to the trouble of cleaning off the sun loungers because Rachel's a bit funny about spiders. And there we were, on we sat, and what happened? A cloud came and covered the sun, of course. And in Acts, we heard that the cloud hid Jesus from their sight. They couldn't see him, but he had told them what to do, and he had given them assurances. And then Luke's overlapping record of Acts, Acts and Luke, we heard twice reference to the promise that God will clothe them with power from on high, the Holy Spirit, which we know was 9 days later. So at Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after ascension. Depending where you start counting, I know it's a bit confusing, but we talk about a 9-day, a novena between ascension and Pentecost. Now, we knew it was 9 days, but they didn't. 9 days, no Jesus, no cloud, no messages, waiting. How did they wait? Well, just a few verses after our passage, verse 14 in Acts, tells us they went to an upper room in Jerusalem. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, Jerusalem was a day's walk from the Mount of Olives where they'd been in Bethany. So a whole day together for prayer, a whole day's walking. Aren't we lucky? We don't have to do that. They joined together constantly in prayer. They waited and prayed. They prayed and they waited. And you can bet that they prayed for that promise of that power from on high, that Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised to them. But they had no idea how the Holy Spirit would transform all that they did. But they prayed and they waited. We are living on this side of many Pentecosts, and we can read in Scripture of the miraculous events that took place. We know what happened, therefore we know what can happen. We must wait. We must pray. Pray and wait. Pray as we wait. Wait as we pray. When we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we invite that power from on high. When we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," we invite the cloud of God's presence. When we pray, 3 words, "Come, Holy Spirit," we invite God to work through our seemingly ordinary acts of love and kindness so that they become infused, anointed with God's action. Don't we need that today? Don't the people you know need that today? So the invitation of thy kingdom come is to pray for 9 days, and especially to pray for 5 people. Little stickers here you can write 5 names on, or there's note spaces in these books. To pray for 9 days. 9 days. Even you can do that once a day for 9 days. Please take the booklets home. Let them help and inspire you to pray for 5 people. And let's see what God wants to do as we pray and wait. Wait and pray. Amen.